Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo $1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
Final seconds. It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
From the Quicken Loans Studios in Houston, Texas. Quicken Loans. Take advantage of historic low rates. Go to Rocket Mortgage today. Here's your host, 6'1", former Oklahoma Sooner basketball player, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Good evening and welcome inside the Quicken Loans Studios at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. That's right, it is Friday night. We want to connect with you before we get underway this evening. Join us at Twitter at E Radio Sports, and you can always go to our podcast page at podcastarena.com. Well, I tell you what, it is truly, it's my favorite time of the year because the 2017, the NBA playoffs are underway. And so we're going to dial it up long distance. We're going to make an international call and catch up with always a Big E favorite. He works with CNN. He usually is based in London, but today he is in Kuwait. What a pleasure to have back with us this evening, Motez Bashara from CNN. Good evening, Motez.
Hi, thanks for having me, Alyssa.
It is always a true pleasure. And, you know, we want to get your insight. We want to get your perspective on the NBA finals. But I tell you what, I've got to share with our audience, you have been a really busy guy. I mean, you got the coolest job. You had an opportunity recently to catch up with Steve Nash. I mean, just another day at the office, right? A two-time NBA MVP. Talk to me. How is Steve doing? We've got a lot of Maverick fans that listen to our show. How's he doing?
Hey, I was extremely fortunate to get Steve for a lengthy conversation, both on the NCAA tournament and on the NBA playoffs. So, you know, Steve is probably one of the busiest people in the world right now. Uh-huh. He's a soccer team owner. He owns a team, he partially owns a team in Vancouver, partially owns a team in Spain. He's obviously doing some work with Golden State Warriors. He's juggling a million commitments. So that was wonderful. It was great to pick his brain.
Well, it was a great article, and I couldn't believe it. I mean, he actually picked Oregon to win the national championship. You were talking about, you guys had a conversation about college basketball. I mean, North Carolina, the favorite, they got it done, but he picked actually Oregon.
He did. I think he works closely with the guards there. Uh-huh. I don't know how that transpired, but I think he was a big fan of their guard play. And so, yeah, I think he was pushing that a little bit, too, to get their names out there. But, you know, it worked out. They did really well just to get to the Final Four, I think.
CNN feature writer, he's also an author, Beating the NBA, Tales from a Frugal Fan, our good friend Motez Bashara, with us tonight in hour number one at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. Okay, Motez, let's move ahead. Let's talk some NBA playoffs. The Chicago Bulls, my goodness, they have done the unthinkable. They beat the Celtics two times in a row on the road, and who knew that the Bulls were capable of this? What are your takeaways from this series?
Well, the Celtics are in real danger of being a number one seed that goes down. Obviously, they could even go down in, four straight here. They're going to go to Chicago. I've been to Chicago. I've seen that place rocking and rolling, and it is one of the toughest places to play as a visiting team.
Yes.
I know that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Chicago has not had a hell of a lot to celebrate in terms of the Bulls, for probably a few years. You know, this wasn't supposed to be a year where they really do anything that interesting. Even though they got Dwayne Wade, everyone knows Dwayne Wade is on the decline of his career right now. You know, they're rebuilding. They got rid of Derrick Rose. So the fact that they are now on the brink of pulling a stunning upset with a rejuvenated Rajon Rondo is pretty amazing to me.
I want to talk about Rajon Rondo here in just a moment. But, you know, if you look at, you know, comprehensive-wise, we look at Chicago, how the season has played out. They really had underachieved, and there had been so much dysfunction, you know, within this team, within this organization. When you watch the Bulls now, Motez, what do you see? And what do you think has been that formula for success in postseason play?
I think they have nothing to lose. All of a sudden, you know, they just squeaked into the playoffs, and they squeaked into the playoffs because other teams were tanking, and, you know, that hurt the Heat, and Chicago was able to come in. You know, even the Nets were tanking at the end, which helped Chicago. But what's doing it is that Hoiberg is allowing Rajon Rondo to take the ball up the court and pretty much do what he wants with it. And Hoiberg is getting out of the way and not micromanaging. And when you have a talent like Rondo, you just cannot do that. You can't get in his face. He's somewhat uncoachable, and he's not going to listen to you. And if you give him the freedom to go around and be creative and drive to the hoop and dish buckets and do his patented, you know, fake behind the back pass, which I love to watch, and do his spin moves around the basket. It's just, you know, he's one of the funnest players in the NBA to watch, and we haven't seen this in years from Rajon Rondo, pretty much since he left Boston. Mm-hmm. And so now the fact that you've got him as the floor general really puts another dimension to this series altogether.
Well, you're so right. I mean, it's been a throwback, Rajon Rondo, and he has not been, throughout the season, he's not been a primary option. But I have to wonder, I mean, are you just saying that because of Coach Hoiberg giving him the green light that we are, that's the reason why we are seeing a more aggressive Rajon Rondo? Because he really is playing his best basketball of the season, and that is good news.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's probably his best basketball in three or four seasons, if I'm being honest, you know, probably since they split up that team in Boston. I think that's, you know, that's the primary reason. I mean, Jimmy Butler also obviously coming on strong is probably the best player on the court in this series is no coincidence either. I think, you know, the two of them together with Dwayne Wade providing a lot of playoff experience versus Boston with very little playoff experience. They've got Al Horford and they've got very little else in terms of playoff experience. And I think leadership plays a part. And also, let's, of course, not discount the situation with Isaiah Thomas, the tragedy that's right, happened to his belated sister now. And although I think the best remedy is to go out there and play, you know, I think a salvation for a person who's grieving and who's in family stress is really to get back to work. You know, everyone handles it differently, obviously, but he seems to be okay with it at the very least. But it's a shock to the system for the Celtics. And, you know, I would be kidding myself if I didn't think that had anything to do with the series. It must.
CNN feature writer Motez Bashara with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We would love to hear from you. Chime in and connect with us at Twitter at eRadio Sports. You can always check out our podcast at podcastarena.com. I want to talk some more, you know, about the Celtics and kind of dissect how things are playing out in the postseason. But let's back up and talk some more about Rondo, because, you know, you're saying perhaps he is playing the best basketball in the past 3 to 4 years. Do you think he has been humbled through all these different experiences and the number of teams that he has burned through and a lot of different opportunities? Because let's not forget what it was just a few years ago that he was sent home in the playoff series when he was with Dallas. There was a lot of criticism about him and that he was a very toxic teammate.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. I don't think you can put him in a losing situation. That's just going to make, you know, in a weird way, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Dennis Rodman. You know, you put Dennis Rodman in a losing situation, it's going to be toxic and you know, it's just not going to work and the ship is going to sink. You put him with the Bulls and all of a sudden, you know, he's a three-time champion after being a two-time champion with the Detroit Pistons. So, you know, these are great players that need to be in good situations. They're not necessarily going to lead the team out of quicksand, you know, but they are going to be the guys who thrive in good situations. Rajon Rondo is only 31 years old. He is a young man.
Okay.
You know,
he
should be at the prime of his career, really. And he's muddled through some pretty ugly times. Like you said, you know, getting sent home from Dallas, having some ugly spats in Sacramento. I mean, that was talk about a dysfunctional team over there, you know. And they even had some dysfunction here in Chicago, but at least they have talent and they're in the playoffs, you know, and I think that was a big difference. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think even a psychologist couldn't understand what's exactly going through Rajon Rondo's mind. But I think perhaps a little maturity has crept in. You know, maybe his agent has spoken to him as well and said, look, you know, this is the time to shine now in the playoffs and we can perhaps, you know, get you a better contract. But who knows, really? All I know is that it's working right now. Will it work next season again? God knows.
Mm-hmm. We'll just have to wait and see. But hopefully he is rehabbing his reputation, as you were talking about. Well, Game 3, it is tonight. In fact, it's already underway with the Celtics and the Bulls. Here are the Bulls. They've got two wins, and that translates into a lot of confidence for them. That is one thing that you can't underestimate. What do you think the mindset of the Chicago Bulls is tonight? I mean, they've got to be feeling good, but they can't take anything for granted because the Celtics are going to come at them.
Well, if they go up 3-0, the series should be over, technically. You know, it's very rare that a team comes back from a 3-0 deficit. So they need to step on their throats and finish this off. You know, they need guys to be clicking. They need to hit the boards. And I think they've out-rebounded Boston big time. You know, Boston is not a very big team to begin with. And I think Chicago has done the little things that it needs to at this point, you know. And so if they get through this, I mean, the Bulls are also extremely fortunate that Cleveland sort of almost tanked towards the end of the season, because otherwise they would have been pretty much just roadkill for Cleveland,
right?
You know, in the first round. So they were pretty lucky that they got a relatively weak seed in the number one, you know, compared to Golden State, compared to all the number one seeds in the past few seasons. They happened to get a team who was a weaker number one seed, also on the brink of, you know, a funeral and their best player on the team grieving. So this just kind of combined to give them the edge right now.
The NBA conversation continues with Motez Bashara from CNN right after this quick timeout.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The 2017 NBA playoffs are underway. We are breaking it all down with our good friend of our program from CNN, and that is Motez Bashara, who is joining us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Okay, so let's talk some more about the Celtics. How difficult is it going to be for them to bounce back after losing their first two games at home? How much trouble are the Celtics in?
I mean, they've got to get it together, and they need somebody like Al Horford to step up. He is on a massive $100+ million contract. You know, this is the reason why they signed a guy like Al Horford, because he's a savvy veteran and he needs to come out. And you know, you watch these guys. I saw clips of the press conference after the first game, and they had their heads hanging. You know, all of them did, and not all of them are. You know, they're a family. I know they're a tight knit unit. But they've got to snap out of the funk. I mean, it's easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
But the overhang of the family situation with Isaiah Thomas is obviously having an effect. Otherwise, I don't think they would have gone 2-0 down at home in the Boston Garden. I mean, Boston's a tough place to play also. So they need to kind of quickly snap out of it. Now, how hard is this going to be when Isaiah has to go, I think, in the middle of the series to the funeral, to attend his sister's funeral? I think that's going to be extremely, extremely, extremely difficult to do. They need to win. They need to win one game, and they should win game three. Otherwise, I think, you know, this is going to be a very quick series.
What do you think will be the keys when you look at these two teams between the matchups?
I think the way they've been guarding Isaiah, you know, they've been harassing Isaiah almost, the Bulls have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they need to distribute the ball better and get some of the other guys involved. You know, Olynyk had some nice threes, and Al Horford's got to come in there, but they need to move the ball around, really help their young superstar, because this is, you know, unfortunately, this is not going to be his playoff series. This is not going to, everyone thought, you know, he was an MVP candidate, right? He was a top five MVP candidate, but unfortunately, because of the circumstances, it doesn't seem like he's really going to be able to step up. So the other guys really need to come to play. They also need to play better defense themselves. You know, they're giving Rondo absolutely tons of room to operate. You know, he's sort of waltzing in and just doing his thing, and they need to equally clamp down on him the same way the Bulls have clamped down on Isaiah.
Okay, we want to shift gears. We want to talk about game three tonight with the Rockets and the Thunder. But one more quick question. I want to digress for just a moment. Do you think Fred Hoiberg, do you think he's going to return next season with the Bulls?
Oh, if they get out of this first round, absolutely. I think how could you possibly dismiss a coach who takes an 8 seed and knocks out a number one? I mean, that would be, I think, unprecedented, probably,
okay.
You know. So, you know, they need stability, the Bulls, and keeping him around, you know, would help matters. If they churn again, they burn and churn again, they're just going to have to start all over again, and they're going to try and rebuild around Jimmy Butler. And it's going to be difficult, you know, to say the least.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the Rockets lead the Thunder 2-0. Is this series over? Do the Thunder, give the Thunder fans some hope. Give them a sense of hope.
It's not over, but at least they have the benefit of going home, unlike Boston, you know.
True.
But boy, oh boy, look, I want to say something about this series. Russell Westbrook just had one of the most momentum triple doubles. He had the most momentum, 51 points,
yeah.
You know, a record triple double in the playoffs, yet he lost. Okay. And he said, I don't give a damn about the triple double, we lost. And that's great for him to say, but he's not playing like that, you know. And the problem is, it's been Russell and, you know, the sort of seven dwarfs for the whole season. And you cannot just change that around. We talked about Steve Nash. he was a great ball distributor, and he told me specifically that Russell Westbrook is going to need to use his supporting cast much more than he has in during the regular season, and it's just not looking like it. You know, throughout this MVP competition between Westbrook and Harden, everybody has said throughout the season that Harden has more to work with on his team, and I just don't buy into that. Both of these guys are superstars with role players on their team. There's no other superstar on either team, really.
Who is your
preference? They're both working with...
Right, right.
Yeah.
But who is your preference, Motez, in terms of with the NBA MVP? Who are you leaning towards?
Oh, gosh. You know, it changes every day, almost. I would have said
really?
Russell Westbrook 2 days ago. And now I'm really leaning towards Harden. I think just the way, you know... His team is a better team with him. And if you take Harden out, it is a you know, bottom-dweller lottery team exactly like Oklahoma City would be without Westbrook. I don't think either team would be that much better than the other, you know. But Harden's team actually functions and moves, and he keeps his head up when he's going down the court. And he's looking for people to pass, and he's the leading assist-getter in the league. And I think if we hark back to the Michael Jordan era, I think this is a very worthy conversation to have. Jordan, in his very best statistical seasons, 88 and 89, really did not go. He did not go to the NBA Finals. You know, he was not the Michael Jordan that emerged later. In 1989, he averaged 33 points, 8 rebounds, and 8 assists a game, and 3.5 steals a game. He had a miraculous statistical season, yet he couldn't get past Detroit in the playoffs, and that's mainly because his team was standing around watching him drive to the basket and get fouled and, you know, the Jordan rules and all that. So finally, Phil Jackson got in his head and said, look, you're not going to win anything until you get the other guys involved. That's just as simple as it's going to get, you know. And then things started to change, and of course, we know he won 6 championships. Something has to happen to Russell Westbrook where somebody speaks to him in that manner and he matures a little bit and he gets the other guys involved. It's wonderful to get these statistics, but when you're shooting whatever it was, 5 for 16 in the fourth quarter, sorry, but you know, that's just not going to cut it. MVP or no MVP trophy, you're not going to win a series, and there's a very strong chance they might get swept in the series.
We only have time for one more question. Let's talk about Russell Westbrook and James Harden's former teammate, and that, of course, is Kevin Durant. How concerned should the Warriors be that, you know, KD's injury and that he was not able to play in Game 2?
Well, they're obviously massively concerned because apparently this is just a minor ankle tweak. So it's nothing that really ordinarily wouldn't keep him out more than one game. Probably won't even in the series, but they're taking major precaution because they know damn well that they're not going to win the finals without KD. They're just not, you know. You watch this team, and he immediately took over as the guy who dominates the ball for the team, which is interesting to say on the Golden State Warriors when they really thrive on ball movement, but... Mm-hmm. You know, the face of the team has changed this season. When he was out for, I think, 16 games or so, it took them about 4 or 5 games to revert back to what they were before him. Now, when he's flip-flopping in and out of the lineup, it's very disruptive for the Warriors. You know, you see an extremely confident Splash Brothers, you know, and then when he comes back in, they don't have, you know, they don't get that rhythm that they normally have. So, he needs to be in the game, you know, regularly. And if he's not, I think this could be really disruptive for them. And by the way, look at the San Antonio Spurs. They look really dominant all
Absolutely.
Of a sudden. And if they face the Spurs, you know, in the finals, in the conference finals, and they are not healthy, boy, they are in for a dogfight. I can tell you that.
I wish we had more time to talk about the San Antonio Spurs. Another invitation, we will have you back. What a great way to kick off our show tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. Check them out online, CNN feature writer. That is Motez Bashara. We'll talk soon, my friend.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
You bet. Much more coming your way in hour number one at SB Nation Radio and the Big East Sports Show. You stay close.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Hey, welcome back inside the Quicken Loans studios at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. I tell you what, it is so good to have playoff basketball back. And we are very excited about our next interview because we are going to focus exclusively on the Golden State Warriors and the miraculous rise of Steph Curry. What an incredible journey it has been for him. We are so delighted to have back with us author and sports columnist with the San Jose Mercury News and the East Bay Times News Group, and that is Marcus Thompson II. He's an amazing author and has just released his new book on the miraculous rise of Steph Curry. It is titled, his new book, Golden, and you want to go out and get a copy of it because the reviews have been absolutely fantastic. High praise for Marcus. Good evening and congratulations, Marcus.
Thank you so much. It feels really good to add the author to my title. I'm trying to get my wife to like it and understand how big that is.
Well, let's dive into the book because, you know, what an amazing journey it has been for you to cover Steph Curry since his rookie season. And I know you're a savvy guy. Could you have ever anticipated that he was going to go on and become an NBA MVP and also a champion?
I didn't. I thought his ceiling was, you know, he'd make a couple of All-Star games, have a few good playoffs. You know, if the team was around him was good enough, he'd win a championship, but I didn't see two-time MVP, unanimous MVP, number one in jersey sales every year, endorsement maven. Like, his own mother didn't even see all this coming, and I really doubt he did, too. So it's really been a stunning development in a very short period of time because 3 years ago, nobody had this coming.
Yeah. So, you know, what did you find out, Marcus? I mean, how has he done it? I mean, he's only 6'3". As you had just said, his mom didn't even anticipate and envision that he would have this superstar, this mega success.
Well, one of the things we don't really attribute to Curry is he's got a crazy competitive drive. Like, he's like Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant. He just doesn't look like it, right? He looks so, you know, small and innocent, and he's a nice guy. But when he's on the court, he's got a maniac kind of drive, one of those legendary competitive spirits. And on top of that, he's one of the hardest workers that you'll come across. He's really, like, insane with his workouts. He has his own practice after the Warriors practice, and then some of the stuff he does in practice is just unreal. So, you know, you work hard, you compete, and he's got clear talent. It really is a pretty good recipe, and he finally got some muscles on him.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was up in Dallas at the Mavericks game, and I had an opportunity to watch him in pregame warm-up. And it is, I mean, he is a tenacious guy, but his pregame warm-up is incredible. And you can see that competitive drive that you're talking about. He doesn't just ease into the game. I mean, he's from the jump. I mean, he wants to be ready to go.
He can have court shots right in warm-up.
Yeah.
Like, and serious about it. He, you know, it's become like a sideshow, right?
Uh-huh.
I know the arena's open earlier. And
I was there early, you bet. I didn't want to miss that.
Yeah, it's like a sideshow, but really it's like a peek into how he operates. Because
yeah.
when he does his own workouts, it's the same type of stuff. He likes to work on hard things. He likes to really raise that degree of difficulty. So when he gets in the game, it's a little bit easier for him.
Hey, we are shining the spotlight on Steph Curry. That's because Marcus Thompson II, he's a sports columnist with the Bay Area News Group, has just released his brand new book. It is titled Golden, The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry. So kind of, you know, before his pro career, take us through those college years. I mean, why do you think he was overlooked and not talked that much about coming out of college? Was he just a late bloomer?
He was a late bloomer. The odd part about it is everybody I talk to, when they watched Curry play, it was clear to them this dude was a prodigy. There was no question about his skill. When you watch him shoot, when you watch him dribble, like he just captivates you. But he looked like a toddler who was dressing up as a basketball player for Halloween. Like, that's how he looked.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He was so young and so small and so frail looking that they just couldn't look past it. But even these scouts who like are, you know, this is what they do, is spot talent. They just couldn't get past his eyes.
Well, what did you want the reader to know about his epic journey? Because, I mean, come on, Marcus. I mean, so much has been written about him. I mean, how did you find fresh new material? And what were some of those insights, perhaps, that you can share with our listening audience tonight?
Well, some of it is, you know, compiling all of the information that we've got and like put it into one story so you can have one kind of central place. But a lot of it is like people really don't know his story. You know pieces of it, but this story has been going on since he was in the eighth grade. And there was some kind of like, I guess you could call it like adversities that he had to overcome that you just don't hear about. I know it doesn't make much sense, right, when you say, oh, miraculous rise, his dad was an NBA player. What's a miracle about that? But most NBA sons are like 6'7", right? Most of them, you kind of get your father's height and athleticism, and he didn't get that. So this book is it's a lot of behind the scenes. It's a lot of who he is as a person. Some Aisha in there, some Sonya Curry, of course, some Riley. So you kind of get to see like what all has poured in to making this dude like a clear Hall of Famer at this point.
Okay, so how is Steph Curry? What is he like as a teammate? Because, you know, there's some of the reports that come out saying that he was not that well-liked. Can you clarify that for us, Marcus?
Everybody who knows Steph Curry, they consistently say one word, humble. He's the most humble guy. And I think it's really jarring considering, like, his fame has risen so much. He just remains the same. They really do love him. It's the main reason why Kevin Durant came to the Bay Area. He said, I gotta know that Steph wants me there. And Steph went to the Hamptons and told him, let's do this together. I want you on this team. And he convinced Kevin Durant to come. And very few players would invite another MVP to come at least share the shine with him, if not take the shine altogether.
And from what I understand, too, Marcus, I mean, for this book, I mean, you got some pretty exclusive interviews with his family, his teammates, and of coach, and of course, head coach Steve Kerr.
Oh yeah, I talked to everybody. I talked to high school coaches, assistant coaches, friends. I did talk to a lot of people because it's the details that matter, and we kind of know his journey. He wasn't recruited out of high school, but the real meat is in the details and in the stories and in the anecdotes that are behind the scenes. And when you read this book, you're gonna feel like you know Steph Curry because it really gets inside of who he is and how he actually pulled this off.
You know, one of the things I loved about in the book, and you talked about how the Bay Area, it really has been, it's got a rich history. I mean, it's been a vibrant basketball town. And perhaps, you know, speak to this, I mean, Marcus, that it's really been underrated. We were talking about it's got the long history. I mean, you've got Hall of Fame players, you know, Jason Kidd, Bill Russell, Gary Payton. Why do you think you've been perhaps a little bit overlooked?
Mostly because the Warriors have sucked for so long, right? They were just bad. It was a bad franchise. I remember when I was a kid, because I'm from Oakland, we would go to Warriors games to watch whoever the opponent was, right? So the Sonics were in town. We were going to see Sean Kemp and Gary Payton. Nobody came to even see the Warriors. That's how bad they were for the better part of 40 years until they get Steph Curry and become legitimate. But the area produces a lot of basketball talent, but the local team did not produce a lot of good basketball.
Mm-hmm. The title of Marcus Thompson II, his new book, Golden, The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry. It is an amazing, it is a compelling read. Let's dive into this. Let's talk about his incredible marriage with his wife, Aisha. She plays a pretty important role in his success. What did you share about his marriage?
Aisha is like his grounding, right? Steph is a very regular guy. And his off-the-court life, he's just like every other husband. Who gets, you know, hey, you got to take out the trash or you're going to hear it from your wife. And he loves it, though. And Aisha has always been that for him. When he was a riser in college and took over the tournament, like he wants somebody to make sure he doesn't lose who he is. And Aisha is one of the people who just doesn't care about his basketball exploits. She cares about him.
Sports columnist with the Bay Area News Group and author of his new book titled Golden, The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry, Marcus Thompson II is with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We will be right back.
Hey!
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, welcome inside the Quicken Loans studios at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are right now, we are shining the spotlight on the Golden State Warriors and their star, that is Steph Curry. A brand new book has just been released on him, The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry. It is titled Golden. We are visiting with the author, Marcus Thompson II.
He finds her like his epicenter. She's the one who keeps him grounded, and now they have kids. It's really, they really have like a fairy tale love story. Like, really, when you really get down to it, like, Disney could take their story and turn it into something. But it's really, you know, it's refreshing to see. It's heartwarming, and it's a great example, especially for young people.
You know, and you said too, Marcus, I mean, you said it best. It's a divine orchestration.
No question about it. I mean, they met in Bible class at like 15, right? You know, both of them have very similar goals and very similar outlooks on life, and they are in this thing. They work hard. They work hard at preserving their marriage and not letting like the outside world kind of get to it. Both of them do. It's an incredible example. Like, there's a lot about Steph Curry that people will like, whether you're a coach, your grandmother, or a mother. Or you know, a spouse to be, whatever. You're gonna look at this book and say, you know what, we should be like that. Or your coach is gonna say, hey, take that kind of work ethic, right? There's a lot about him to like, which is probably why he rose to such levels.
You know, we talk about Steph Curry, but what about his brother Seth, who has had just it's coming off an incredible season with the Dallas Mavericks. Can you kind of give us some insight on the relationship there between Steph and Seth?
You know, their relationship is funny because starting off, it was really just them two. They didn't do the whole AAU circuit thing. So they spent a lot of time playing each other, and Steph spent a lot of time beating Seth. So Steph learned like how to dominate on his brother, and Seth learned how to keep fighting for his brother. So the interesting part now is like Steph is the emotional like big brother who's like all touchy-feely. That his brother's in his league, right? But his brother's like, you know, I'm my old man. Like, get off me with all that. I'm about to come at you just like we did. So there was one game. This was back when Seth played for Sacramento, though, that he made a shot. And Seth is, like, cheering over the video. He got to catch himself because he's cheering for his brother who plays the other team, like, making a shot. Like, it really warmed his heart that his brother's in a league with him.
The title of the book is Golden, The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry. We are going one-on-one with Marcus Thompson II tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Marcus, connect with our audience across the nation. Where can they go and get a copy of the book, and where can they check you out online?
So you can find me online at Thompson Scribe. You can get the book wherever you buy books. You can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Google, iTunes, or your local bookstore. Wherever you get your books, you can get Golden. And if you just happen to be in Oakland, you know, I got a few in my trunk, but those would probably be $59.99, though.
Sweet. Hey, what did you talk about? They've got a famous father. What did you talk about with Steph's dad?
You know, his dad really held him together during the losing season, right? We know his dad is the one who formed his shot, right? So the great shooter that he is, like his dad created this Frankenstein. But really, he showed him professionalism. Because those first 3 years for Steph, he was in a bad locker room and a bad franchise and a loser team. And he maintained his professionalism, and he leaned on his father for that. But you were like this. The real secret to his success is Sonya. And not just because, like, she's his mom, but a lot of what makes Steph great and a lot of his intangibles point directly to her. So I was expected to write the heartwarming father-son story, and it ended up being the heartwarming mother-son story. Steph is his mother's son for real.
Has she backed off since, you know, Steph is now married, or is she still very much hands-on with his life and with his dealings with the game of basketball?
Oh, no, she's happy to back off. You know, she's got younger children. So, you know, her daughter's playing college volleyball. And you know how it is. Now she has grandchildren, so Steph is kind of irrelevant. Aisha, like, filled that void, and I think she was really happy that he found somebody to do that. But now they just have, the way they talk about her, you could tell that there's just so much respect for her. All three of her kids, like, they rave about her. She was, like, a lot about her is inside of Steph, including, like, that competitive drive and a little bit of silliness and definitely his faith. Like, a lot of that comes from Sonya.
Okay, as we get ready to wrap up our interview, you got to give us a hit. Talk to us about this series with Portland.
It's over.
Yeah.
It's over. Look, so they won by 30 without Kevin Durant in game two. So, look, game three could be, you know, I expect Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum to throw one last haymaker. But if that doesn't work, you know, I don't know how they could do this. The Warriors are just too deep. Portland's playing underhanded without Nurkic. Maybe he returns for game three tonight. Who knows? But in the end, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, it's just too much. So the Warriors don't need this to extend out past five games. So in the end, if Portland can't win tonight, that's over. That's the series. And I think the Warriors are going to go for the jugular in game three.
Okay, they're going to be world champions in June?
Yeah, I said this last year, and it didn't work out that way.
You better hold off on that then.
I'm going to say yes, yeah. But with reservation that a miracle may happen again.
Simply the Best, the new book by Marcus Thompson II is Golden, The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry. Congratulations, Marcus. It is an amazing read. You guys got to go out and get a copy of it. And I look forward to a conversation. We'll count on it in the month of June, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I love coming on your show.
Absolutely. Much more coming your way right here. Hour number two is going to be next at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show.